And now, Lifestyles Unlimited presents the Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Over the next hour, we unfold your map to financial freedom. You'll learn how to retire through investing in single-family and multifamily real estate. You'll learn how to create cash flow and build wealth so you can have the time and money to live the lifestyle you want.
Welcome to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. I'm Mike Harrison. Yes, we're always working on your financial freedom. It's my privilege to be joining you today. Welcome to the show. I'm a real estate investor. I live here in Dallas, Fort Worth. Although I don't just invest in Texas, I started investing really close to where I lived. I thought that's how you did it. But as my strategies evolved and I became much more comfortable with real estate investing, I have many real estate investments outside of Texas. Live where you want, invest where you want, right? But I started investing in 2011, just a short time ago, by myself. Didn't really know what I was doing. I just knew that there was something to this real estate thing, and I wanted to get it figured out, and just kind of hammered through it, really, and was humble enough to, after 2 years, I said, I've got to get educated. Walked into a Lifestyles Unlimited office, signed up, joined, and really changed it. Lifestyles Unlimited changed just how I saw, not only how I saw real estate investing, but how I carried it out. And I was able to get a roadmap for me, right, that worked with my strategy, that gave me a plan, a one-year plan, three-year plan, five-year plan, 10-year plan that I continue to follow today. And Lifestyles Unlimited really taught me effective, keep that word in mind, effective real estate investing, the proper way, not the way I started out. And boy, did things change for the better, and really just a lot of fun. Whereas in the beginning by myself, it was an absolute struggle. It was kind of a beating when you're not educated about something, but you're doing it. It could be frustrating at times, and it was, but once you had a plan, a map, someone you can call, text, email, and say, hey, here's what I'm doing. I'm not sure what's happening here. Help me out. And I'd have immediately an answer as to how to solve the situation. So much easier, much more fun, and by the way, much more lucrative. And that's why we're doing it. I'm going to hit some emails today, see if we can knock these out. I don't know if I'll get through everything on this show, and if not, we'll continue it to the other side. I do appreciate the emails. Keep them coming. I always tell you, I'm here to help. I'll respond personally to each and every email I get, and my email address is askmike@luinc.com. So let's go with this first one. This is from a guy named Michael, ironically, and that's my official name. So if I'm signing a legal document or buying a piece of property, you'll see the old Michael C. Harrison signature down there, even though I go by Mike. So Michael says, what do you do if you get a bad renter? Isn't it a long, drawn-out process that can take months to kick a renter out of your property? Common question, common fear in regard to real estate investing. Michael, I will share this. We have a model that we utilize here at Lifestyles Unlimited. It is counterintuitive to what people think owning real estate is in many, many different ways. But we rarely, I will share this, we very rarely get a quote-unquote bad renter. Why? Our motto literally is best product, best price, managed by the best people. We are not slumlords. Why do we want the best product? We want the best product in a great location. Number one, it's business economics 101. If you have a product that's in demand, right? One, you're going to be able to lease it easily, but more important than that, and the most important part here, if I have a lot of demand for a property, if I have a rental property that comes up and it's vacant and it's for rent, I'll get 3, 5, 10 people that will submit applications and say, hey, I want to live here. And now I have a client list that I can go through and I can choose from because I have demand for the product, right? Best product, best price in a great location. You want to market to the masses, okay? A lot of people think, oh, I need to go buy the nicest home possible and rent it out to somebody. Well, there's fewer people that are in that upper end, okay? Fewer people are buying in that upper end. More people are buying the everyday stuff. So we want to stay in with a product that's the most appealable to the most people. But the most important step, more important than finding the right house, more important than even what you purchased the house for? All those are important. But if I had to list importance from top to bottom, if you made me choose, I'm going to tell you the most important part is tenant screening. We screen deeply. We want to know who we are renting to. We want to rent to good people, good credit, no criminals, solid rental history, job income, etc. Good people pay rent and do not destroy homes. Now let's touch on that criminal side again. I rented to a guy that had a felony, and he was a great resident of that property for a long time. But I had to look into his story, right? He checked the felony box, and everything else looked great. Great job history, great credit. Everything about this guy was great. And I went back, and I had, I think, about three people that wanted this property. But except for the felony, this particular gentleman was in first place. And so I said, write me a note. Give me three paragraphs. What happened here? The guy was 44. When he was 18, last day of school, him and a couple of buddies thought it was a great idea to break into the school and vandalize the school. And boy, did they vandalize it. They did a ton of damage. This guy got in a lot of trouble. He paid the price for what he did. But this felony is following him around, right? It's like the dead condor around his neck that he just couldn't shake. And when he shared with me the whole story, I went back and I'm like, man, this guy's been at his job for 14 years. He makes good money. When we called his employment, people were glowing. They're like, man, this guy is awesome. We love him. We rely on him. He is a valuable part of our business. So I rented to that guy. I want a person that understands that a lease is a business agreement. I live here, and in return, I pay you X amount to live here. It's a business agreement. Does this individual care about their debt obligations? Yes, no, maybe. That's all a credit score is, okay? It's a general idea of the reliability of paying rent, not only paying rent, but paying rent on time, okay? Next, we're going to move to the criminal background check. Does this individual have a history of criminal activity? Why does that matter? A criminal is a risk to your property physically, but they are also a risk to the other residents that live near them. If you have an apartment community, they are a risk to the other people next door, downstairs. They're a risk to the management team, to everyone. So we're going to check national, state, and county criminal records. All right. If you missed the first segment, go back and listen. Just because you have one check mark on your criminal record, let's see what it is. Let's explain it and let's talk about it a little bit. I mean, obviously, some actions are a greater threat, greater risk than other actions. And also, when did those actions take place? Did they take place when you were 18 years old, or did they take place 6 months ago? Okay. Are you a criminal? Yes or no? We're going to do an eviction history check. If somebody just got evicted and they're showing up at your place, the worst thing you can do is lease to that person. And I don't care if they show up with 6 months in cash. That's a red flag. But again, someone from the outside who doesn't know any better says, man, this guy showed up on my house. I'm not even done with the rehab yet. They don't care when I'm done. They just said they're ready to move in whenever it's done. And by the way, they'll pay the first 6 months up front. Red flag, alarm bell, siren, warning you need, that is a hard no. No, thank you. Not accepting it. Let's go ahead and run your credit check, sir. Let's run your eviction history check. If you have a history of being evicted all the time, that is a hard no. If you just got evicted, that's a hard no. If you got evicted somewhere 10 years ago and you've been great ever since, that is a consideration. Okay, we're going to look at that. Employment and income verification. Very important. Does this person have the ability to pay the rent? I'm looking for three times. If I'm renting for $1,500, I want to see that your income, not your after-tax income, but your income is $4,500 a month. If you're making $3,000 and I'm at $1,500, but your spouse or your girlfriend's moving in with you, let's put her on the lease. Maybe she's making $3,000 a month. Combined, y'all have $6,000. She's on the lease as well. You both have an obligation to make sure that $1,500 is paid each and every month. Now, people will give you, okay, people do this. They will say, here's who I work for, and here's the number, call them, and they'll tell you all about it. Well, they may have given that number to their friend, and they say, hey, when this person calls you, you're going to pretend you work at my company, and you're going to tell them great things about it. Don't call the number they give you. Call the employer directly. Hi, my name's Mike Harrison. I need to speak to your human resource department. I'm calling on behalf of John Smith or Sally Smith or whoever. And could you please direct me to your human resource manager? And go from there and then just say, hey, what kind of person is this? Oh, I've never heard of them. They don't work here. Wait a second. I'm calling, you know, XYZ Sheet Metal Company, right? Well, yeah, you've got them. And you're located at this address, right? And John Smith doesn't work here? No. Or John Smith is the bomb. Love this person. It's been with us for 7 years. We rely on them. So check the employment and income verification. Call the company directly, okay? Hey, I make $5,000 a month. And human resources says, no, he only works part-time. Red flag, probably a no. But if my property's in demand, I can go to the next individual on my list to rent the property to. Again, I'd rather let that property sit a month, 2 months without renting to the wrong person. Renting to the wrong person is worse than having an empty property. Now, lastly, let's look at rental history and references. Let's call your previous landlord. Why are you leaving? Does what you told me sync up to what the landlord says? What was your behavior? Did you pay rent on time or were you late all the time? Did you follow lease terms? What was the condition of the property when you left? I want to know that information. Now, the last part, Michael, of your question, you're talking about eviction. Eviction is not difficult. If your property is located in an area, a city, and a state that is business friendly and respects property rights, understand there is a difference. But if your property is in the right area, it's typically a 30 to 60 day process, depending on where you are. Different states and different cities have different laws. Personally, I've only had to evict one time, and the guy left the property really clean. Okay, I've gone through it once. It was not difficult because I live in a business friendly, or my property was in a business friendly area that respected property rights. Now, the ease of eviction is going to vary from state to state. There are tenant protection laws. There are different court procedures. There's different notice requirements. I'm going to get into those on the other side, so stick around and listen, and we'll go through each of these as well.
Got questions? Call Lifestyles Unlimited at 855-497-4335. The Real Estate Investor Radio Show continues next.
The Lifestyles Unlimited team of real estate investing mentors and educators want to meet you. Learn to retire in 5 years or less. Text the word radio to 88007. That's radio to 88007. Join for just $297. Lifestyles Unlimited.
Listening to Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show will change your life. Now, here's your host.
Welcome back to the show. I'm Mike Harrison. Hitting some emails today. Again, my email address, I'll throw it out one more time. AskMike@LUINC.com. LU stands for Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Mentoring Group. We've been around for over 3 decades teaching people how to buy their life back, how to effectively purchase cash flowing real estate. And I'm dead serious when I say effectively, because there's 37 ways to do it wrong, and there's just really one direct way to do it properly. Several steps there, but we're here to help you along the way. So I got a very short question from somebody listening to the show. His name's Michael. Michael, I sure appreciate you reaching out, but there's a lot there, and I want to be sure I cover it. However, I want you to know that our education piece we'll cover this, our 16-hour. It's 8 hours on a Saturday, 8 hours on a Sunday. We'll do a deep dive into why we don't have, quote-unquote, as you use the term, bad renters. We put protections in place. We have a strategy that we utilize to prevent the bad renter. But you're worried. You're saying, hey, isn't it a long, drawn-out process that can take months to kick a renter out of your property? And the answer to that is where's your property? okay? First screen, let's prevent the bad person. You get someone in there, people are good until the second they're not, and you may have to go through the process. That comes back to geography. Where did you purchase your rental property, okay? There are landlord-friendly versus tenant-friendly laws, depending on where your property is. Some states, Texas and Florida, come to mind, but there are several others. They have laws that favor landlords by allowing faster eviction times and fewer tenant defenses. In these areas, these folks understand business, okay? A lease is a contract, right? The worst doing as a society is electing politicians that have no idea, they have no experience in the private sector whatsoever. And I don't understand why we keep doing this to ourselves. We are punishing ourselves. The first box on a politician should be, has this person ever worked in the private sector? Do they understand how business works? Do they respect business? Do they respect property rights? Yes or no? I would love it if no was a disqualification, but for some reason, we keep electing radicals and we're just punishing ourselves. Other states, California, New York, they have strong tenant protections. They require longer notice periods. They offer multiple opportunities for tenants to contest the eviction, okay? Yes, I know I haven't paid for 6 months, but I can't believe you're evicting me. And the judge is like, you know, you're right. Why don't we reset this case for another 60 days? And in the meantime, keep in mind, we leverage each of our properties, but whether you pay cash or you leverage them, we teach leverage, have a note on it. You're losing either way. You might be paying a mortgage or not paying a mortgage, but you're darn sure not paying yourself. You're bleeding. Okay, so some states have these longer notice periods, multiple opportunities. Tenants may no-show for a court case in these areas, and the judge just says, okay, we'll revisit this in 60 days. In the meantime, We're the victim here, not the person that didn't pay their rent. Notice period. Some states, landlords can issue a 3-day notice to pay rent or vacate. Texas is one of those. Others require a 30 to 60 day notice. I'll take a 30 day notice. That's not a big deal. I can live with a 60 day notice as long as it's business friendly. And once we get to court, we can take care of business, right? Did you pay rent? Did you not pay rent? Why didn't you pay rent? What's going on? Court processes and delays. Some states have streamlined court processes, allowing landlords, and I do not like calling myself a landlord, but for ease to discuss this legal question here, we're going to use the term. I consider myself a property owner. But some states will streamline the process. You can evict in a matter of weeks. Others require multiple hearings, appeals, tenant protections, and just drag it out for months. In the meantime, some poor property owners going bankrupt. There is just cause versus no fault evictions. Mike, what does that mean? Let me explain a no fault eviction. And I'll get more into property takeover on an apartment community in a little bit as we address some of this. But a no fault eviction is, let's say we have the resident in, for some reason, I always pick unit 17. Sorry, it just comes to mind. But this guy plays his music loud all the time, and so we get complaints from the people next door. He's peeling out in the parking lot when he takes off for wherever he's going. He's just a slob. There's trash outside of his area all the time. But maybe he pays his rent on time every time. Well, when that lease comes up, let's say the lease comes up in March, we're just going to go, hey, Steve, man, you got to go. I'm not renewing your lease. I know you pay it on time. I know you're willing to pay the increase. Every increase that I've given you, you keep paying it, but you got to go. I don't even have to tell you why. In the back of your mind, you should know why, but that's a no-fault eviction. We can remove tenants at the end of a lease without a specific reason. It is great. Sometimes people have to go. There's tenant rights and protections. Some states allow an automatic stay or an eviction moratorium. What this is some states have a lot of holdover from COVID. They haven't gotten rid of these COVID area protections. Hey, newsflash, COVID was done years ago, and we still have some of these ridiculous protections in place. Some states get this. You can't evict in the winter. Why that matters, I guess they're not going to be homeless. At least they shouldn't be. There's somebody will rent to them. Some states have rent control laws, San Francisco, New York City. It makes evictions even more difficult, okay? Look, own your property in an area that's business-friendly and pro-property rights. Now, I got into this a little bit, eviction from a different angle. I did a due diligence just a few weeks ago, and you may want to find that show on due diligence. I did it on my show, and I also did it on the great Al Gordon's show. So I did two shows, so it's out there. Type in due diligence, and it literally just hit. But when we take over a property, there are some people that we want to go, literally. I know that sounds harsh, but there's a reason we're buying this property. It's a business opportunity. Again, we're trying to take a property that we're buying and make it the best product at the best price in its local market, managed and owned by the best people. We want to provide, at the end of the day, a quality place that people appreciate living, that people want to live. So we may incorporate some lease violations, right? The person that's just constantly got bugs, they, for whatever reason, they keep their trash lying around for about 90 days before they decide, hey, maybe I should take this to the dumpster. Again, playing the music loud. They don't pick up after their pet indoors. Yes, it happens. So you give them a lease violation. And if they don't address the concern, they got to move. Fire hazard, right? You got a hoarder and they've got stuff stacked up 6 feet tall, newspapers, magazines, again, trash, clothes everywhere. If a fire were to break out in that unit, somebody's going to get hurt, right? And it might be the people in the unit, and it could also be the people next door, the people upstairs, the people downstairs. Fires in apartments are dangerous, very dangerous. We don't want any fires. And again, we don't want a bunch of fuel sitting around that can easily catch spark, right? You got a smoker and they've got 10 years of newspapers there. That scares me. Okay. Again, we're trying to provide clean, functional, desirable place to live. We may not renew the slow pay tenant or the person that's always, for whatever reason, they can't come up with their lease money on the third, but by the eighth, they've got it and they pay the fines. They do that all the time. That is a drag on management. That is a drag on accounting. If somebody just can't get their act together, they got to go. When they go, we want to upgrade that unit. An upgraded unit will pay more money. So let's get to the next email. This one's from Glennis. She says, I have a question you may or may not be able to answer. Okay, challenge accepted, Glennis. Does investing in passive multifamily units affect your ability to buy a new home on a personal level? Is it considered a shareholder in real estate, even though it can't be liquidated quickly like a stock, or is it considered a percent of owning real estate? For example, if I put $50,000 into a $1 million deal, do I own 1/20th of the building? Will a lender look at our passive multifamily deals as debt against our credit to buy a personal home? Fantastic question. And Glennis, thanks for asking me. And yes, I'll go ahead and do my best to answer that question. Feel free to ask others. But I'm going to tell you, no. Investing passively does not hurt your ability to borrow at all. It is an investment on your end. It's not looked at as any form of debt obligation in any way, shape, or form. An investment is part of your net worth. It goes down on your personal financial statement, and you should have one of these and update it twice a year. It's viewed as net worth. So no. And the majority of our multifamily deals that we enter into are what we call non-recourse. It's an asset loan from the lender to a business based on the performance of the business, not a personal loan. Non-recourse. You fail in that business and you can't pay the bank back, you hand them the keys, metaphorically, to the apartment and you walk away. There is no recourse against the personal credit of the lead investor, also known as the syndicator or the general partner that took out the loan. Glennis, you're a shareholder of a business as a passive investor. That's going to lead me to what's called SREO, Schedule of Real Estate Owned. Schedule of Real Estate Owned is a document and it lists the investor's real estate holdings. This document is used by lenders, investors, and financial institutions to assess ownership and liabilities. When you go buy your personal home, your lender, and I doubt it because you're buying your personal home, but they may say, hey, I'd like to see your schedule of real estate owned, and you can list out all your investments there. So in this scenario, how does your investment work? One, I mentioned it, the investment structure. You're investing as a limited partner in a real estate syndication or a private equity deal. Okay, you're a limited partner. The general partner, also, we call that the lead investor or the syndicator, they're the one managing the deal. The passive investors, yourself, Glynis, you're just contributing capital. Okay, you follow me. Now, you got into it a little bit. Ownership and equity. And let me paint this. I'm going to take that same $50,000, but I'm going to try to paint it into something that's more feasible to what we do at Lifestyles Unlimited. $12 million property. The equity raise is $4 million. We'll call that roughly 70%, right? It's really 67. But our equity raise, we're going to get a loan for $8 million, which is about a 70% loan to value. And we're going to purchase this property with the $4 million investor equity on the $8 million loan. So you have, in this regard, $50,000 into the $4 million. Okay, and I know math on the radio is hard. But that is a 1.25% ownership of the equity share of the deal, okay? You're not 1.25% owner of the property. You're 1.25% owner of the equity share, okay? It was a $4 million raise. You have a share within that. Now, returns and distributions. Where do your returns come from? They come from cash flow distributions when the property generates income or when the lead investor, the syndicator, decides, hey, we've got it stabilized, time to make distributions. Okay, so your returns are going to come from that. Your returns are going to come from appreciation, and they're also going to come from what we call forced appreciation. Okay, so let's say this $12 million property, we go down the road 18 months, 2 years, 3 years, and it's worth $15 million, okay? Your share of ownership has grown to $7 million, not $4 million. Again, you own 1.25% of that equity stake, okay? So when the property sells, that's where your returns are going to come from. Now, we force appreciation. What is forced appreciation? That's where we're building value. We're increasing the net operating income with various strategies, and we have numerous strategies that we use, but we're building value, we're increasing the net operating income, and we're adding additional streams of income. Income on a multifamily property just doesn't come from rent. It comes from several sources. Rent, by far, is the biggest, the largest. But there's a lot of other ways to increase that net operating income. And again, just to reiterate, we want to increase net operating income because, again, that's how a business is valued, right? The more money it brings in, the more the value of the property. What is your risk? Let's talk about risk and liquidity. Your investment as a passive investor is illiquid. You cannot withdraw it early or unless a lead makes a special accommodation for you, maybe a death or an illness or something like that. It'll be spelled out in the business documents when you begin to subscribe to the deal. Understand that. But for the most part, when people say, hey, I put 50 grand in a deal, 2 years later, I want my 50 grand out, I'm going to tell you no. You're not going to be able to get it out. It's illiquid. You need to ride that property full cycle. Your risk, where's your risk come from? It's going to depend. It's on the lead, right? The property management. Did he put good management in place? Responsive management to our clients. Who are our clients? Our clients are the resident. Is the management taking care of the residents? Market conditions and financing terms. Let's talk about those. You have a property financing terms. For instance, you enter into a deal and it's got interest only on the financing terms. Let's say after 2 years, that interest only resets to market condition interest rates. Well, what did we just go through from 2022 to 2024? We're still dealing with it a little bit, and it's starting to stabilize here in 2025, but we're still dealing with it. We have higher interest rates than we did just a short amount of time ago. Interest rates in this country went up at the highest rates over the shortest amount of time in the history of the United States. Interest rates overnight practically shot up, doubled, tripled in some instances, depending on the terms that were there before. You have an interest-only loan and it resets because of the market conditions into the interest rate of the day, of the time when it resets. That's risk, right? So that's where your risk comes from. So understand the financing terms, understand market conditions. Do your best to understand where you think market conditions will be 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, 5 years from now. What are we going to go into? And I know that's crystal ball kind of stuff, but that's what we deal with as real estate investors. So your schedule of real estate owned in this context, if you're listing your assets for financing or reporting, you may include that SRO to your lender. But really, it's your investor. You're not, it's not direct property ownership. It's just how the deal is structured. But you're an investor. You own a share of the company that is purchasing the property. So I hope that helps you. But at the end of the day, it's not going to hurt you when you go to purchase your personal property. Your personal property, really what that lender's more concerned about is your credit report. What kind of human are you, right? Glynis, are you one that pays? And you sound like somebody that's got good credit. But they're going to look at your credit report. They're going to look at what your income is. They want to know what your debt to income is. Do you have the down payment? Where did the down payment come from? You know, your down payment just can't hit your checking account the month before, because that's going to show the lender, hey, someone gave her this money. You got to show them where the down payment came from. That's really what your lender's all about when you're purchasing a personal property. Now, I'm not going to be able to get into all of these, and I'll hit them on the next show. So I want you all to carry over with me and pick it up next week. But we're going to hit some more emails, and I'm going to do a deep dive into the 28 ways that we increase income in multifamily. I had mentioned there's 28 different ways that income's not just from the rent. So that's going to be on the next show. So pick me up in a week from now. In the meantime, Expo 2025, our Wealth and Passive Income Expo, is May 7th through May 10th. Get it on the calendar now. It's right around the corner. It's here in Dallas-Fort Worth. Get your plane tickets. Make plans to attend. You can find details at lifestylesunlimited.com/expo. It is the largest event of its kind in the country. Thousands of like-minded real estate investors just like yourself are there. I'm going to tell you right now, you want to save $100 when you check out and you're purchasing your passes for the expo, go ahead, take out your phone, and the promo code is radio. It's live for expo. If you want to get it, text expo. EXPO to 88007, 88007. That's going to give you the link to the Expo sales page and the promo code. Again, you can find that at wealthandpassiveincomeexpo.com, wealthandpassiveincomeexpo.com. And understand this, if you want to live the life that others don't live, you have to do what others don't do. And along the way, you're going to discover it's not the money. It's the lifestyle. Make it a great day. We'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Ready for more of the map? Visit lifestylesunlimited.com. Explore our videos and articles. Click on the radio tab to access past show podcasts. View the radio show schedule and listen to our best of radio shows. Want to continue the conversation? Follow Lifestyles Unlimited on Facebook today. We want to meet you as well. Sign up for a free workshop at lifestylesunlimited.com. Until next time, remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle.
The information and opinions you hear on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show are those of the hosts, guests, and callers and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.